Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, one thing I need to do today is a little bit of housekeeping, and I like to get it out there to you and get it out of the way. And so I handed out some cards when I came in, but if you didn't get a card, would you raise your hand up, because I need you to have one of these today? Mark, could you help me pass those out on this side of the room? And would you help me pass these out on this side of the room as folks raise their hand? These two are for y'all because I laid them down there. And this is just a little card. I ask you to fill it out. There's some information that you can get. A lot of times, and this is a key question, a lot of times people ask, is there a video of the hand signs? And the answer is, not officially. All right? We haven't made these live events video because they're very ineffective. You know, people are not going to sit in their living room and get up and do hand signs with the TV. I guess if we called it Christian aerobics, maybe they would. I don't know. But one of the things it says right under all the information we ask you for is you can sign up. Here, I got another pack. You can sign up for an email devotion that comes and gives you a description of the hand signs when you get it. And so it says, sign me up for the email reminders of the hand signs. That's the first one. The other one is the pathways. You can sign up to receive those in the mail. There's another one. We have Walk Through the Bible Lands, and I have those flyers over at the table. But Walk Through the Bible Lands is walk through the Bible's Holy Land experience. And our goal is to connect the land to the Bible, which connects people to God. And so, as Gary said the other day, it changes the way you read the Scripture when you see the land. And we try and see at least five things a day. We try and focus on Old Testament on certain days, New Testament on other days. I've been two times, and my last trip was last February. We have another trip planned this February. And so, the website is called walkthroughthebiblelands.org. But if you want more information, you can click on that. If you'd like to know more about how to host an event, you can ask there and contact. And then the other thing is what I tell people at live events, this is the only thing I'm accountable for. This is what I have to send in because I teach. And so it asks you kind of how I did. And you can be honest and put that on there and just send it in. And if you want to make any comments on the back, feel free. Down at the bottom, we ask if God's worked in your life. We like to know. I love one of our guys, his name is John Fretz. And John he's been working with Walk Through the Bible for 30 years. And when I became a ministry consultant, John taught me something. And he said, I make phone calls every day and talk to pastors. That's what I do. And he said, you know, you would think I'm just a salesman. But he said, I can go back and pull all my events out and I can tell you that 40,000 people this year walked through the Old Testament and understood the Bible in a new way. Because I sit at my desk and make phone calls every day. And I thought, wow, how many people can impact 40,000 people? And that number changes every year. And so now I'm part of that equation because I work with churches. But we'll take these up at the end of the morning. But just take time and fill that out for me and everything. I think that's all my housekeeping. We have moved into our fourth section out of the five. Our fourth section out of the five is the kingdoms. If you look here, we have United Kingdom and we have Divided Kingdom. Actually, in our God's Grand Story, we break these up. So we have 6 weeks of reading, and you consider the United Kingdom and the Divided Kingdom. But where we left off yesterday was where? What is this? Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, except Ruth. All right. Well, wait. You guys have been sitting a long time. Maybe we should stand up, and let's just do a little bit of review and catch up. Make sure we got this. All right. Are you ready? I know you want to go slow, right? I know my audience. And so, okay. So here we go. Let's start with Deborah, and let's just go slow. And the reason I start at the end and step back is because the newest stuff we've done least. So I want to give you the most time to get it. So here we go. Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth. Good job. All right, now. Let's go back and just do yesterday. So we start with Joshua yesterday. So we have Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth. All right, good job. Now let's just go back to the beginning. We won't step back anymore. All right, here we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings, feast, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law, Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth. Have a seat and give yourselves a hand. You did a great job. All right, well, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth. Well, and someone else. There was a family, and they traveled outside of Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem really wasn't a city yet. They traveled to the place that everybody traveled to. It was called Shiloh. Do y'all know what was at Shiloh? The what did he say?
The Civil War. That's
true. There you go. But there was a building there that they had built. Remember what it was? Tabernacle. That's right, tabernacle. And they traveled there, and this man traveled there. His name was Elkanah, and he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah didn't. And Hannah went to the tabernacle and prayed. She prayed that God would give her a son. And you may know the story. She prayed so fervently that when the priest saw her, he thought she was intoxicated. He thought she was drunk, and he rebuked her. He corrected her. He said, "Woman, you shouldn't do this." And she said, "I'm not drunk. I'm praying that God would give me a son." And he realized he was wrong, and he told her, "God's going to give you a son." Well, in her prayer, she had prayed that if God gave her a son, that she would give that son to God and to his service. And so she went, and she did have a son, and she named him Samuel. And he went. After he was weaned, he went and served the Lord and served Eli, the priest. And the story goes in the scripture that he went to bed one night and he heard his name, Samuel, Samuel. He got up and ran to Eli. And Eli said, "I didn't call you." And he did that two other times. And finally Eli said, "Listen, when you hear your name, say, 'Yes, Lord, I'm listening.'" That's his name, Samuel. Samuel. Shema means to hear, and El means Lord, God, Samuel. And he heard God, and God, when he said that, God told him everything that he was about to do. Now, the last thing that God was going to do in this time period is he was going to judge the last area of unrighteousness or disobedience or faithlessness, and that was the priesthood. Eli had grown very obese because of just his gluttony and his lifestyle, and he was growing wealthy off the people. And his sons had taken that lifestyle too, and they exploited the worshipers when they brought their offering. And God had told Samuel, "I'm going to judge the priesthood. I'm going to judge the priest." And Eli, of course, asked Samuel, "What did the Lord say?" And Samuel didn't want to tell him. And then Eli said, "Well, then what he said may happen to you if you don't tell me." And of course, then he told him. He said what the Lord said. So Samuel, our sign for Samuel is just putting your hand by your ear and saying, "Samuel." So everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth and Samuel. And God started to work beyond the priesthood. God started to work in Samuel that Samuel started to speak for God. Now, what kind of person speaks for God? Prophet. Actually, that's what the word means, spokesman. That's what the word means. Remember, we didn't talk about it, but when Moses said, "God, I don't speak so well," he said, "Then your brother Aaron's going to speak for you. I'm going to make you God to him, and he will be your prophet. He will speak for you." That's what a prophet is. And a prophet speaks the truth of God for God. And that's just a basic thing. And so what God told Samuel, he wanted him to say, he said it, and you could write down this verse on your page with the answers. I love this verse because God gives Samuel the context. He says, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you." He says, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. See, when a person speaks for God and people reject it, yes, they're rejecting what the person's saying, but who are they really rejecting? God. And so some people say, I just can't take rejection. Well, they're rejecting God. We love people enough to tell them the truth. And it's up to them to accept God. And God says, I've given the people my law. I've given them a life in a promised land. And they're not listening. And they're not listening to you as you encourage them to trust me and depend upon me. And he says, they've rejected me, not you. And it's a great phrase. They've rejected me from being king over them. Who always wanted to be our king, our leader. Who always in his rightful place is our king and our leader. God is. And so God tells Samuel this. And so what he brings about is our next section. What he says is, I'm going to work in a different way. They've rejected me from being king, so I'm going to give them a king. Now here's the thing. God is not surprised, and God has not changed. Okay? That's one thing. Some people don't know that because they don't know what God wrote because they never got to that part in reading it. It's so hard sometimes. You read the Bible, and it's like, whew. Today I read it and I didn't get anything. Tomorrow I read it and I didn't get anything because it doesn't apply to my culture directly. And I'm not there. But when you read Deuteronomy, God says in Deuteronomy that one day when the people have a king and he sits on his throne, the priest is supposed to bring the law to the king, and the king is supposed to sit on his throne. He's supposed to have the law there. He's supposed to take a blank scroll, and the king is supposed to write the law in his own hand in the presence of the priest. So God wasn't surprised when his people rejected him. And he didn't change his plan. He just said, okay, now we're going to enter this season. We're going to do what I told them. And the king was supposed to do that. And that's in Deuteronomy. And so God now is beginning the United Kingdom. And so what we do is take our hands above our head and we just put them together like this. And we say, United Kingdom. United Kingdom. So you say, Ruth, Samuel, United Kingdom. The United Kingdom had three kings and they all reigned 40 years apiece. How long did the United Kingdom exist? 120 years. The United Kingdom existed 120 years. Well, when God gave the people a king, he gave them what they wanted. That's the most dangerous thing to get sometimes, what you want. Because if they didn't want God as a king, then what did they want? They wanted what they wanted. And he gave them a king that looked like a king. Israel never had a king. There had never been a king in Israel. They wanted Gideon to become a king. He didn't become a king. They wanted Joshua to become a king. He wouldn't become a king. And so now they're going to pick a king. Well, Samuel goes and finds Saul. And when the people look at Saul, they went, oh, a king. Because he looked like a king. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, when they looked at, he stood above, the stature, the way he looked on the outside, he was a king if anybody ever saw one. And so what you do is take your hands like a crown, stick them straight up and say, Saul. 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 Don't do this. This is antlers and it's not deer season yet. Okay, Saul. And so Saul becomes the first king. Saul becomes the first king. Well, God's desire, God's work was that he gives them a king, and the king is supposed to follow God. And therefore, the people, through following the king, follow who? God. You know, we still have that paradigm in our world, right? A father has a son, and the son obeys the father, honors the father. And who's the father supposed to be following? God, right? Until they go out on their own, they're under that umbrella. They're under that leadership. Well, Samuel, as God's spokesman, as his prophet, would go to Saul and tell Saul what to do. And there's a lot of things to talk about, but when he talked to Saul, one time he said, Saul, go to battle, and when you go to battle, don't leave anything. He said, don't leave any of the godlessness there. Destroy it all. King and all. Don't bring the king back as a trophy. Don't bring him back. Everything. Don't take any of the loot. Don't take any of the spoil. Don't take any of the animals. Don't bring anything back. Saul goes to battle, and what does Saul do? He brings back the animals. Brings back the king. Samuel says, what is it that I hear? Oh, I brought back the animals. I wanted to sacrifice them to God. That's not what God requires, not what God called upon. You know, we can hold on to the old things and they trip us up and they hold on to our lives. And so when it comes down to it, how does a person respond to God? You know, what did he say? Incline your heart, that they would incline their heart to me. Oh, that they would incline their heart and keep my what? Word, my word, my commandments. But Saul wouldn't do that. Saul didn't do it. And so Samuel goes to Saul, and God told Samuel what to say. Look at what it said. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the what? Word of the Lord. You've rejected the word of the Lord. And so the Lord has rejected you from being king over his people. Wow. So Saul wouldn't be the king to follow God, so Saul couldn't be king anymore. You see, what we do is we say, put your hand where your heart is right here. And we say Saul had no heart for God. No heart. So say, Saul, no heart. So we have Ruth, Samuel, United Kingdom, Saul, no heart. Well, then God gives Samuel an instruction. Look at the instruction. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his height or his stature. Saul had both of those, didn't he? Because I have rejected him, but God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, and God looks at what? The heart. There was a man who had been serving, who became a servant of Saul, played music for him, fought a giant. Y'all know his name, right? David, that's right. And that is the man. Saul went to Bethlehem, went to Jesse's house, went to find the king. That's where God led him to. And he was in the field, and the family didn't even think of him to bring him in when the prophet came. And so they finally sent for him, and Saul anointed him. Now, that all happens in this book. What book is this? Yeah, 1 Samuel. That's right, you got it. 1 Samuel. And what's the key word of 1 Samuel? Saul. So if you want to read about Saul, you go to 1 Samuel. And so David becomes king. Put your crown up and say David. David becomes king. And what kind of person was David? He was the kind of person that said, your word I've treasured in my, I did not make heart red that time, but heart, that I might not sin against you. He was the kind of man who said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. On one hand, Samuel had told Saul, you've rejected the word of the Lord. Now God's found a man who treasures his word. He's found a man who sees his word as the light. Now, was David perfect? No. David became king, moved the throne to Jerusalem, wanted to build the temple, couldn't. David wasn't perfect. He didn't follow the Lord. He didn't lead the people. He sent them to war and stayed home. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He hatched a scheme. He lost a child. And when Nathan, the new prophet, came in, the man who succeeded Samuel, when he came in and said, you are the man, David's heart broke because he treasured God's word and he realized he didn't live it. And that's a key. I always had, as a pastor, I've always been in churches, and I love my senior adults, and I go eat with them when they go out and eat, and when we have weekday Bible studies with them, I'm right there. I take my kids when they were small. We'd all just load in the van with them when they had an empty seat and go wherever they went. And I just love them. I had this one lady, in every church I had one lady, and she always says, Pastor Randy, I'm just an old sinner. And I always say, well, Miss Beulah, Miss Beulah was one of them. She's gone to be with the Lord now. I said, Miss Beulah, you need to get over that. God didn't call us just to remain no sinners. He called us to be repenters. Because when we hear God's word, what is our goal? To change. Now, we can't change, but we can seek God for him to change us. We can read his word, hide it in our hearts. We can walk and look at how we live like it's a lamp unto our feet. We're to be repenters. That's what David was. He repented, and that's what made him a man after God's own heart, because he saw God's word, and he saw, my life has to change. I can't live the way I am, and he repented. So what kind of heart did David have for God? Saul had no heart. What kind of heart did David have? He had a whole heart. That's right. So we say, Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. All right. Well, David grows old, and of course his second son by Bathsheba, whom he married after he had her husband killed. Boy, the Bible, isn't that something? And he, Solomon was promised to be the king, and there were all kinds of things. David had a son that rebelled against him and tried to stage a coup and pretty much did. And then he had another son that when they made Solomon king, he was planning to become king. And when Solomon became king, David called him in. And this all happens in the next book. What book is this? 2 Samuel. And 2 Samuel is about who? David. 2 Samuel is about David. And so, there's one more book. And what book is this? How many Chronicles are there? Yeah, but on the slide. There's only one Chronicle. So this is 1 Chronicles. And who's the king on the Chronicle? It's David. It's hard to see because you can see he's got the jewel on his thing. He's got the thing. There it is. David. And so this Chronicle is an editorial on David. So you're like, well, what's that mean? Well, the priest kept a record of the king. And so 1 Chronicles is the priestly view of the reign of David. Does that make sense? And so you read 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles together, and they coincide, okay? And so David calls, as we start going to the next book, David calls Samuel in, and he makes a statement to Samuel, and this is pretty surprising. I couldn't believe it when I finally realized this and read it. But here's what David said to him. What David's doing is he calls Samuel in, and he says, Samuel, you've got to deal with my people. Have you ever succeeded anybody in a job and their staff is still there? Yeah. And their staff is used to them, not you. And they expect you to work like they did. But Samuel's going to become king. David knows he's getting ready to die. Samuel's going to become king. And David tells Samuel, you've got to deal with the staff. Yes, sir? Solomon. Man, thank you. I get the names all twisted around. David tells Solomon, who's getting ready to become king, that he needs to deal with David's men. Well, one of David's men was Joab. And Joab grew up in the same area as David. Their families probably knew each other well. And Joab becomes one of David's men. He actually becomes the head of his army. And Joab was a leader who not only did he not hold his king accountable. See, Joab was given the order, go where the fighting is heaviest, put Uriah in the front, Bathsheba's husband, and then draw everybody else and leave Uriah there and he'll be killed. And Joab followed those orders. But Joab also killed other people David did not want killed. And so David tells Solomon, treat Joab, look at this, look at what he says. Now therefore, do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man. This is 1 Kings chapter 2. Solomon hasn't become king. God hasn't said, Solomon, you can ask anything you want. That hasn't happened yet. But David tells his son, you are a wise man. Where do you think Solomon got the idea to ask for wisdom? His father spoke it into his life. Isn't that good? Boy, what am I speaking into my children's lives? What have I said to them about their value and their worth and their capability? What have I said to I don't have grandchildren. What have you said to your grandchildren? Because what we speak into their lives, they may believe. And they may seek it. That's what David did. And so Solomon becomes king. Take your hands. Do Solomon. Solomon becomes king. He asked for wisdom. When Solomon asked for wisdom, what did God do? He gave him wisdom. And then he gave him everything else. But Solomon had more peace. He had peace in his time. He made more peace treaties than we can comprehend. He married all these princesses from different places. The title slide for our book has all these women in the background, because how many wives did he have? 700, 300 concubines. I mean, and then he had all the wealth, and he had all the majesty, and everybody came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But what happened is, when he brought those princesses into his house, he allowed them to bring their gods, and then he built their gods altars for his wives, and then he eventually built them houses for their gods, and then he eventually bowed down to some of them. And so while his father had a whole heart, Solomon asked for wisdom. That would tend to make us think Solomon's going to have a whole heart, right? But then Solomon turns and seeks other gods. And so what we say is Solomon had a half heart. Half heart. And that's it. So what book is this? First Kings. First Kings. Got one on the crown. This is First Kings. And what's the key word to First Kings? Keyword? Who's the character? Solomon. So if you want to read about Saul, you do 1 Samuel. You want to read about David, you do 2 Samuel. If you want to read about Solomon, you do 1 Kings. You do 1 Kings. Now, that kind of brings the structure of this time period, and that's where the poetry fits in. You got Psalms, which is David's work. You've got Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. And doesn't that explain the poetry? Doesn't Solomon's life explain the poetry? Because on one hand, you've got Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. And he's singing about love, he's singing about life, he's singing about the beauty and the hope and all of that. And then you read the book of Ecclesiastes. And what does he say? Everything's empty. You can pursue everything and it's empty. I think one was at the beginning of his life, and one was nearing the end of his life. And then we have all the wonderful things that are written in Proverbs, and we don't know who wrote Job. And Job, the story in Job reads like the culture of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it's patriarchal in its culture. And so, that's the poetry, that's the perspective of the poetry, the sovereignty of God. That in Psalms, the worship of God. In Proverbs, the wisdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, emptiness. And in Song of Solomon, love and marriage. And so that's the beauty of the poetry there. And so Solomon's king. And Solomon is king. And do you think that when someone is a hypocrite, that everybody's fine with it? Of course not. Of course not. People aren't fine with it. All right. Hey, we covered a lot. Let's stand up and review for a second. All right. Let's stand up and review. We end the time with Ruth. And so do this with me slow. And say Ruth and Samuel, United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart. You want to do it again? All right. Here we go. Let's do Ruth. Ruth and Samuel. United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart. All right, do that two times with your neighbors. Can you remember? All right, here we go. Ready, Ruth? Ruth and Samuel, United Kingdom. Saul, no heart. David, whole heart. Solomon, half heart. All right, have a seat. Hey, you can jot this down as a little statement. Think about it later. Every person you meet is a Saul, a David, or a Solomon. Every person you meet is one of those three people. Either they have no heart for God, either they have a whole heart for God, or they have a half heart for God. And people say, well, why do you have to peg people that way? I don't peg people. I pray for people. That's what I do. If I meet someone and I know they have no heart for God, I know how to pray for them, and I know how to begin a conversation with them. And it's not putting them down, it's hopefully lifting them out of their ignorance. If they say they have no heart for God, because living ignorant of God is a terrible place to live. Amen? Amen. All right. So you can jot that down and think about it. Solomon's half heart, his hypocrisy was troubling. There was a man named Jeroboam, and he was one of his military leaders, and he was troubled by Solomon's hypocrisy. And so Jeroboam went to God and said, what do you do about this? And God told Jeroboam to tear a cloth into 12 pieces, and it was on the ground. And he said, now what I want you to do, here, look at what he says in the scripture. 1 Kings 11. He said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give you 10 tribes. And so Solomon's half heart destroyed the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Half-heartedness takes a toll. And so that's 1 Kings 11. You can jot that down. That's the consequences of hypocrisy or half-heartedness. That's the consequences. And so what happened in a nutshell is this. Rehoboam, and I don't know why these names came on the scene at this time. Somebody ought to do a study and tell us about that, because we hadn't heard of a Boam before, have we? But now we have Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, takes the tribe of Benjamin, which was where Saul was from, and the tribe of Judah, which was their tribe, and he becomes king over those two tribes. And Jeroboam takes the 10 tribes of the north. Judah and Benjamin were in the south. The 10 tribes were in the north, and he takes the 10 tribes in the north. Now, here's the thing, though. Where's Jerusalem? It's in the south. It's in Judah. Now, if Rehoboam lets the people go to Jerusalem to observe the Passover and the feast, there's a fear in his heart that they may not return to him and he'll lose his kingdom. So he does something strategic. He builds two calves like they did in the wilderness, and he told people, if you want to worship God, go worship him at these calves. And every king that followed him in the northern kingdom, which became to be known as Israel, every king that followed him in the northern kingdom left those calves in place. Even though they would tear, some of them would tear down the Baal altars and the Asherah poles and all of the other godlessness, they left those calves. And so every king in the north, it says, they did not depart from the wickedness of Jeroboam. And so we say there are no good kings in the north, in Israel, no good kings. Now in the south, all of the kings weren't good. There were 20 monarchs, and out of those 20, not all of them were good, but there were 8 who at some point in their reign and in their life sought the Lord. And so what we say about, we're looking at this, there are 39 monarchs in these two kingdoms. And so we say Solomon's half heart led to a divided kingdom. So instead of united, it's divided. So say, divided kingdom. Divided kingdom. And because there were only 8 good kings in the south out of 20, that's less than half, and there were no good kings in the north out of 19, we take our thumbs, put them down, and we say, mostly bad kings. All right? That's what we say. So we say, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings. And that's the way it was. They were mostly bad kings. There were a few, 8 in the south, and there are great studies because you can see how God's grace is abundant and how he works with his people. And when those kings sought him, he considered them and he showed his grace upon them. But in the south, now tomorrow we're going to get more into the captivities, but the first captivity came to Israel, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. And then the second captivity came to Judah. And the last king of Judah, his name was Zedekiah, and he was a descendant of David's and Solomon. But it's interesting what the scripture says about him. And I want to share this with you, because God used an oppressor from Babylonia named Nebuchadnezzar. And he came in and he set Zedekiah up as king, and he was supposed to be the king in the place for Nebuchadnezzar in Judah. And so it's still the line of David, and it's still all of that. And Zedekiah, he made Zedekiah swear that he would be faithful to him, Nebuchadnezzar, by God. And Zedekiah did that. He swore that he would be faithful to Nebuchadnezzar by holy God. Look at what the scripture says about him. This is said about Zedekiah. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear allegiance by God, that he stiffened his, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his what? Heart against who? The Lord. Not Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord. And that is the story of the northern kingdom. And so we say, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings. Well, during the divided kingdom, remember how we came to the end of Judges and we did this? Everyone, we summarized it. Well, during the kingdoms, because the kings stopped following God, God started speaking more and more and more through who? Prophets. And so we take our hand in front of our mouth and we say, prophets speak. Prophets speak. All right, now, we teach the prophets in a very short setting, and but we do it at the very end so you can understand the prophets in the whole picture, okay? So we'll talk about the prophets tomorrow before we close. But at this point, in the kingdoms where they're mostly bad kings, God starts speaking through prophets. We used to say their message was shape up or ship out, because that was it. You either become faithful to me or I'm going to remove you from the land. I'm going to remove you from the blessing, and you'll get what you want. You'll get your own way. And so let's do this together. Ready? Divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. Wow. How's that? That's the eight. And so we put those together. The kingdoms, we relate to a lot in the kingdoms. We relate to the kings. We do character studies there. We have the study Crucible and how God worked in David's life about his character, his faith, his truth, his integrity, his humility. And this is one of the studies that Phil came up with that meets the need of teaching these things. And David's a great example of them, because I can tell you, I've been a David. David intentionally sinned. He needed that sin offering, didn't he? Because he intentionally sinned against Uriah, against Bathsheba, against God to get what he wanted. But he turned back to the Lord. And I always want to be that person who turns back to the Lord, doesn't always turn away from him, but turns back to him. And I pray that for each one of us. But let's stand together and let's review today, and we'll close out, and Gary, then you'll come. All right, let's do the eight today, and then we'll do from the beginning, put it all together. All right, so we started with, Ruth was the end of yesterday. Let's start with Ruth. Ruth and Samuel, United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. All right, take a deep breath. You stood up. We're going to do the whole thing now. Now, this is four-fifths of the Old Testament right here in our story. So we're going to do it all together, and then we will be dismissed by Gary. All right, here we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings, feast, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law, Joshua, divide, conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, everyone did what was right in his own eyes except Ruth and Samuel. United Kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak. Give yourselves a hand. Great job. Gary, come on now.
Okay, thanks, Randy.